My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Absolutely incredible.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
This sure is absolutely incredible. I feel like it's going to be a great day. Talking sports on 95.7 Saturdays. Evan Gidding, I'm Jason Dumas. We're talking sports, then we get to go to the California Classic after this. Nice little fight on tonight, too. Shakur is fighting, so great sports day for me. We got some, I don't know whether to call it breaking news, but Slovenia, they just lost in the Olympic qualifiers to Giannis and them. So that means Luka will not be in the Olympics this summer. Kind of a surprise.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that the bigger upset was the one where they lost to Croatia, and Dario Saric's team had a great game. But
yeah, triple double.
Dario came down to Greece and Slovenia. But to your point earlier, Jason, it's, you know, USA obviously has the best roster, the most talent on their team, but there are some pretty damn good squads looking around. You know, right now, basically, Lithuania, who beat Team USA last summer at the World Cup, you know, they got Sabonis, Valanciunas, yep. Latvia, who also reached the quarters last year, has Porzingis on their team. France has got a couple of big names in Wembanyama and Gobert. And then the team that a lot of people, I think, have their eyes on as well are the Germans with the Wagner brothers, one of which who just got paid max money yesterday in Franz, as well as Daniel Theiss. So there's a lot of really good teams that USA is going to have to go through. The question is, you know, if they're going to be able to just dispatch them as easily as we assume.
Yeah, and we haven't, and I want to get to a caller, and we'll get to a caller in a second. But after, you know, after we chat with Joe, I want to get into Wiggins a little bit because
I got you.
Very interesting how the Warriors did not let him participate in the Olympics. I know they're calling it a mutual decision, but I ain't so sure about that. We'll get to that in a second. Let's go out to Joe in the city. What part of the city are you calling from, Joe? Where are you at right now, brother?
Yo, what's going on? I'm right by Union Street. I just grabbed some coffee at the Union Coffee Roastery. Great spot.
Boy. Right, that's a good spot. How you doing, man? I know you want to tap Poole and Wiggins. What's up?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm in a boot, too, on my left ankle.
What so you do?
I got ankle surgery. I just, like, I'd sprained it so many times, and then the most recent one just didn't really get too much better. So
gotcha. Well, so we can bond over the boot. It's a pain in the butt.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that.
Rest up, Joe.
And especially in the warm weather. But anyway, I'm really enjoying listening to you guys. You're doing a great job. I think the pool segment that you just were talking about. Yeah, I was thinking about this the other day. I think his reputation is not great here, but watching him, like, that Nuggets series in 2022 when he was just, like,
next level,
an automatic 30-piece. Like, I haven't been that excited watching games I mean, it's the Warriors, so you're always excited, but that was so fun. And to think that how that then materialized down the road is really, it's crazy. It's like unprecedented to have that type of player end the way it did. And you mentioned you wanted to go into Wiggins. Yeah, really my basis for calling. Yeah, I mean, I've really enjoyed Dunleavy so far. I think he's the type of guy that we need. I don't know what options they have had to get off of Wiggins. I think Bob Myers was great, and in the last couple of years just made some mistakes. As a fan, I would love to see them move off of Andrew Wiggins in some way, shape, or form. It seems like it's been a continuous saga of drama for a couple of years. And, you know, Kuminga, Moody, like, there's just guys, even if they're a little worse, I think he's become this, like, pseudo Harrison Barnes that doesn't really do anything. And, you know, the level of play from that finals run to now is just like, you know, I wonder if they had that salary open. I mean, moving off Clay is probably best from a basketball standpoint. But, like, I just would love to see that guy gone, you know? So, yeah. Excited to hear what you guys have to say about it, too, because I know you mentioned you're going into Wiggins in a little bit.
Feel you, Joe. Appreciate that. And, Joe, I don't think your opinion – I think you have a popular opinion. I think a lot of people who watch night in, night out are kind of over the Andrew Wiggins experience. I really do. We've said this before. 2022 was an exception to the rule. If you just look at the totality of that guy's career, 2022 was an exception. So everybody just searching for 2022 Wiggins, probably not going to find it again. It was an anomaly. Like, and I'll be honest, I think his on-ball defense, or the popular phrase now, point of attack defense, it's overrated. Lately, it has been. He hasn't been an elite perimeter defender. He wasn't last year. He wasn't. So I know, because that's really the last excuse for the Wiggins fans. That's their last excuse. Oh, who's going to guard? He didn't really guard last year. He was like average at best.
Yeah, he had his classic Wiggins. You know, some nights he'd would be able to dial in on a perimeter player, and other nights it felt like he was a turnstile. And I think what highlighted it for me was when he had that 3 or 4 game absence on the East Coast road trip, when Moses Moody was able to step in. You know, Moses wasn't an incredible just lockdown defender.
He kind of locked up Jalen Brunson.
He was able to get in front of Jalen Brunson. He also guarded Tyrese Maxey on that road trip. And I believe also Haliburton, because they played those teams in succession. Not only did the Warriors win those games, but Moses Moody was able to hold his own. So that put it into perspective to me that Wiggins is a good defender when he's locked in.
Yeah, for sure.
They also have players that can step in and kind of do what he does just because he's inconsistent.
Like Wiggins' all-time performance against Jason Tatum during that finals. He made Jason Tatum's life hell. But like we said,
did the same with Luka.
Yeah, for sure. Then dunked on him too. And like I said, though, that was an exception. That is not the rule. So, you know, I see people on Twitter and like, look, I don't want this to become an Andrew Wiggins bash session. It shouldn't be that. And I think you could look at his Warriors tenure as successful. If he got traded tomorrow, I think you look back, it was a successful tenure. He helped them win an NBA championship. Most people said he was the second best player on that championship team, which is completely fair. I don't think that is a wild opinion. But it's time to go. It's just time. I think you can get similar production out of Moses Moody. I think Moses Moody can grow into a really good defensive player with more reps. And, you know, what else? I mean, look, at this point, moving on from Wiggins might just be a salary dump move, which is a shame, because if you said something 2 years ago, you could probably trade Andrew Wiggins and get a haul back. But now it's not. It's just not.
You'd be able to get something. Yeah. At this point, he's not quite Zach LaVine because he's not owed as much money, but I think people around the league probably view their contracts in a similar vein. And it's because you don't really know what you're getting. You're on the hook for another, I think, $84, $85 million over three seasons. And he isn't a player that is a starting caliber two guard or two way player every single night. He can be, but the issue, it's almost like, if you have a player on your roster that has the ability to do something, you have to play him because they have a ceiling, right? If you've seen it, you're willing to kind of wait it out. I think people and a lot of Warriors fans, the sentiment that we heard from Joe and we've heard from a lot of people over the last 3 days, Jason, is people are just done waiting. Like people are just done waiting to see if that 2022 version of himself is going to show up ever again. And even if it does, well, is it going to be once a week? Is it going to be once every 2 weeks? That flash in the pan, I think, is almost a tease at this point that people just want to remove themselves from, because the fact that they do see it infuriates them more every other game that they don't see it.
Remember he went through that stretch this year where he just couldn't hit a free throw either? Yeah. It was crazy. Those were post-game questions. What's wrong with Andrew's free throw shooting?
It's I don't know. You gotta ask Andrew.
Yeah, it's but that's my point. It's we're talking, it was bad this year. He was playing terribly at one point. And then he would get going, and then he would have a nagging injury or something. Or then he would have to be away from the team for a hot second. It was just crazy. I want to pull. I mean, he averaged 13 points per game. Andrew Wiggins should be averaging minimum 17. He really should be around 19 to 20, if we're being honest. Yeah.
They paid him to be the second leading scorer. I mean, they paid him assuming that Klay Thompson was going to decline a little bit and get older and probably be relegated to, a third scorer. And in a perfect world, if you have Curry, obviously, as your leading scorer, Andrew Wiggins around 20 points per game. I think they also paid Poole assuming he could be, an 18 to 20 point per game scorer. And then Klay Thompson takes a back seat. If things had worked out the way that the Warriors intended them to when they paid both Wiggins and Poole, well, then you do have at this point, even if Klay isn't on the team, three legitimate scores. But of course, one, for reasons we don't have to rehash, didn't turn into that player. They got off of Poole. Wiggins has taken a sort of a deep dive and a spiral. And his numbers, like you said, it's not as if he just shows up one night and his numbers have just gone down. Even when he is playing, he's not playing as well as he used to even a year ago.
No, his numbers have literally gone down every single season since 2020.
Yeah, and his efficiency hasn't been there. So I'm with you. I do think it's time.
Yeah, and I didn't even realize this. First time I've actually looked, he's a terrible free throw shooter for a guy who plays on the perimeter. You should definitely be over 75%. Last year, he shot 75.1% from the line. The year before, 61. The year before that, 63. The year before that, 71. The year before that, 67. Guy's terrible at the free throw line for a perimeter player. You should absolutely be over 75%. If you shoot from deep like that.
I mean, you and I were at almost every single home game this year. How many times did Wiggins step to the free throw line and you thought that he was going to make both?
Rare.
Yeah, he's a walking split.
I mean, look at this. Last 2 years, he's only averaged, last year he averaged 2.7 free throws a game. The year before that, when he only played 37 games, he averaged less than two free throws a game. When you're an athletic wing, you should be at the free throw line at least six times a game. That just shows you that he wasn't trying. You can't even get to the foul line. You are so athletic. You're a 6'7 wing who's known as a slasher. You can't even get to the free throw line. Yeah, it's time. It's time. That's all I will say. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. We got JP, Union City. He wants to talk Warriors offseason. JP, what's going on, brother?
What's going on, guys? Hey, first of all, I think you guys have a really good dynamic going. I think we need to make a show. It's going to be called the DNG, not Dolce Cabana, but Dumas and Giddings. How about that?
Oh, I love it.
That's not bad.
I'm about to give you my boss's phone number, Nahegan's phone number. We need that regular show,
Matt.
That'll
be a force in Dolce Cabana.
Seriously, let's get that on ASAP. But I just kind of want to speak back on what you guys were talking about with Jordan Poole. I mean, that was a phenomenon, right? It was what that pool party reminded me of was like Linsanity. It was almost at that level.
Good point.
And there
good
was
point.
Just something. Yeah, there was just something about it that like really just upped the level of like, you know, just Dub Nation. But if you think about it, though, this team has always been about like being intellectual. And there's always been a good barometer of like emotional intelligence. And it was unfair to Jordan Poole and how great he was. We always compared him to Steph because he was supposed to be the replacement of Steph. But one of the things that I think really stood out to me is I don't know if Monty Poole asked him a question like, you know, what does the game of basketball mean to you? And thinking Steph would answer like eloquently, like, you know, it's more than just the game, this and that. When you would hear Jordan Poole speak, he'd be like, get back to me when I have an answer for you. And I think those are the things too that played a factor as to why we didn't keep Poole. It's not just his antics, but also like him as a person. Like there was just nothing that compared to his aura versus Steph Curry. And, you know, that's just my thoughts on that.
All right. Thank you for the call, JP. I mean, there was a lot of pressure on Jordan Poole. But I mean, you're in the NBA, bro, you gotta be built for it. You gotta, like, you know, yeah, he had pressure, but so what? We all have pressure, relatively speaking, in our lives. It's how you react to pressure, you know? I mean, clearly he wasn't built for it, and, you know, that's part of the reason why it probably didn't work out. Like I said, it's not all Jordan Poole's fault. For reasons that are beyond obvious, it's not all his fault.
But, no, but I mean, I do think you're right. Like some personal responsibility needs to be involved in the equation. But at the same time, it's like what he was 23 years old. I mean, yeah. He's still relatively young, was kind of handed the keys to the kingdom, perhaps prematurely, probably prematurely. And was he the easiest guy to approach or talk to? No, he's a little more reserved. There was the famous, I think it was during his rookie or sophomore season when he had the timer out during his postgame pressers.
Yeah.
You know, he'd had his 4 minutes and then it would go off and he'd look at Ritter and say, you know, like I'm out essentially. And it was a little playful when he was playing well, but that stuff rubs people the wrong way when you're not playing well and you don't want to answer questions and you don't want to speak. But the one thing that I could never question about Poole was his work ethic. Like yeah. He was always in the gym.
Always.
And even though he didn't publicize it as much, we always heard from Warriors front office members and from coaching staff members that like he works at his craft. And so that to me always, I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt when it came to, you know, talking to the media or just being approachable because I know that he was locked in on the game. And that was one thing that I did relate him to Curry with. Being compared to Steph is just not fair. Like it is unfair for anybody to be compared to Steph Curry. He is one of a kind, not just as a player, but as a human being. So to say that he's not acting like Steph to me is completely understandable. Who does? But the one thing that he did do that I thought was reminiscent of Curry was work his ass off. And that's why I felt like he was somebody I was willing to believe in. It just, by the end, similar to how we're talking about Wiggins right now, it just kind of was time. And it was time for an unfair reason. It was time because he wasn't able to put what happened in the past. What happened in the past was unfair to him. But at the end of the day, it felt like the Warriors and him probably needed to go separate ways, and they ended up doing that.
Yeah, I mean, they've said after the fact, I think Draymond said it or Steve, whoever said it, that it derailed the whole season.
Yeah.
That incident derailed the entire season, as we know. Jordan, he was a bit temperamental, you know, didn't know what you're getting from day in and day out. But like you said, his work ethic was second to none. And he just brought this energy to Chase Center that was really unmatched other than Steph Curry. It really was. Like by the time he came around, he was the second most box office player on the team. That includes Klay Thompson. Like from a marketing standpoint, from a personality standpoint, like obviously we saw his personality more because we're in those pressers every day. But what the fans see is him playing to the crowd, him laughing, that big smile he has. Like He was box office.
He was my brother's favorite player. Like when I was trying to figure out which jersey I'm going to buy for my brother for Christmas, I bought him a pool jersey. Like, right. That was his dude.
Yeah. See? Like, he was a fan favorite. And yeah, he was supposed to be that bridge. I mean, theoretically speaking, everybody talked about the two timelines with Kuminga, Moody, Wiseman. But honestly, the bridge was supposed to be Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole. After that championship season, both Poole and Wiggins get pay raises, get new contract extensions. Those two were supposed to be the bridge between Steph, Dre, and Clay to the next phase of Warriors basketball. High-level play from Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins. If those two players were still playing at the 2022 level, or even somewhere near it, the Warriors would be completely different right now. And they would still be a top four team in the West.
I agree.
But those two fell off the face of the earth for different reasons, and some their fault, some not. Well, it's all Andrew's fault. But for Jordan Poole, there was a lot of circumstances that we know and we saw play out in real time that could conceivably contribute to the downward spiral in his production. But we can talk till we're blue in the face. Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole's decline is really what got us here. If those two stayed relatively the same, Evan, we'd be in a whole different space.
Well, and I think you make a really good distinction, Jason. It's not just if they're playing at that level, but if they were playing close to that level.
Yeah, you don't have to demand perfection every year because they were damn near perfect that year, relatively speaking.
Wiggins started an All-Star game.
Yeah.
Granted, it was because of a K-pop tour, but at the same time, it wasn't like he wasn't playing great basketball the whole season. Like, he was a big reason, and Poole was a big reason why the team won 51 games and became a three seed. Can make a run to the chip. Like, those were quality players, and their games have not stayed even in the same stratosphere. The next year, Wiggins, I guess you could say maybe not his fault because there were things that happened in the background that prevented him from being present, nevertheless playing well. But even before that, he clearly was not the same player after he received that contract. And then Jordan Poole, I think he was just fighting demons the entire season. So both of them falling off, I think, not only hurt the Warriors' future, but it also hurt the big three, because the reason you're talking about them as a bridge is, I think, when Steph and Draymond and even Klay to some extent came back from that championship run, they're in their mid-30s. Like, those are players that in a shortened offseason don't have a ton of time to recover and recuperate and get themselves physically prepared. I think that's one of the reasons why they started so slow at the beginning of that season, is because Kerr, along with the rest of the elder statesmen on the team, were hoping that these younger players, because remember, Wiseman played a lot at the beginning of the season, Kuminga played a lot at the beginning of the season, those players weren't ready, obviously, but Wiggins and Poole weren't ready to carry the load that Curry and Draymond needed them to, because they also started slow, because I think that they were a bit tired from their postseason run. So the fact that they weren't able to bridge the old to the young is a big reason why the Warriors were in a position that they had to move off of Poole at the end of that season. And now, I think two seasons later, how they're trying to figure out if they can move off of Wiggins, because that bridge broke. It collapsed. And it's not necessarily either of their faults 100%, but the fact remains, they can't be those players. And so they moved off of Poole. I think they're also trying to move off of Wiggins. And they're essentially admitting fault for giving them those contracts before they had to. And I think that's a big reason why yesterday we were discussing, do they have to pay someone like Jonathan Kuminga? Because they didn't have to pay Jordan Poole. They could have asked him to play that final year. They could have asked Wiggins to play that final year. But they rewarded them. And it's probably why they're in the position that they are right now.
Yeah, it's extremely unfortunate. You took bets on two guys and it just did not live up to it. And, now you're in a position where you're trying to retool your team, and hopefully Mike Dunleavy can go out there and get a big fish. Now, we're speaking of old guys. Did you see that James Wiseman just got himself a
second contract, right?
Yeah, not really guaranteed, though.
It's like a two-year deal, but the second year's, I think, a team option, and yeah, it's partially guaranteed.
Yeah, right.
Indiana.
With the Pacers. I think this is his last shot in the NBA. Like, I think this could be his last contract. If he doesn't play well this season, I think it's over for him.
And I don't really know how he's going to get on the floor.
So who are their big men? They have Miles Turner, obviously.
Miles Turner. I guess they let Jalen Smith
walk. Is he still
restricted
there?
Free agency, I believe. But they re-signed Obi Toppin. They don't play a lot of traditional five, so Wiseman, I mean, outside of Turner, but Turner can shoot the three pretty well. Yeah, I mean, ideally he's a backup center for him, but unless he plays well, I'm kind of with you, Jason. It's not looking great for someone like James Wiseman at this point. And it's unfortunate because I also think it was hard for him to get onto the floor and with the Pistons. They're not a good team, but he was basically just buried behind a bunch of centers, Jalen Duren, among others. And even when he was in the games, he didn't, and it was hard for him, but he couldn't really contribute to winning. So, you know, Wiseman was a player that in Golden State is going to be known as a bust. I mean, perhaps one of the biggest busts in franchise history. And the fact that he was drafted at the time that he was amidst the dynasty is going to highlight that fact even more. But he also might have been put in an unfair position. And Steve Kerr's admitted as much, too. Like, they should not have started him from day one that first season when he only played essentially two college basketball games. He wasn't ready. And now we're seeing perhaps the end of the line for Wiseman, which sucks because I think he's still in his early 20s.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and Wiseman has some stands on Twitter. Every time I criticize Wiseman, my mentions become a cesspool. It's crazy. And it's like, I'm not exactly saying controversial things. Just look, the proof is in the pudding. Look at the production.
Yeah, right now he's behind Isaiah Jackson, who's also with Indiana.
Yeah, Isaiah Jackson, pretty good, actually, too. That's Kentucky, what I'm saying. Guy. Yeah, like, I don't know. It's another thing. Like, I never really saw it. I know a lot of people did, but I never saw it. I wish him the best. Don't get me wrong. He was a pleasure to cover. Like, easy, accommodating, all that. But hopefully it works out for him in Indiana. We're halfway through. We're still talking Warriors. Our call lines are open. Don't hesitate to come holler at us. I'm Jason Dumas. That's Evan Giddings. You're talking 95.7 The Game Saturdays.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Be right back.
You have a standard. It's pretty evident that if things stay the same, you know, that's the definition of insanity, right? Keep doing the same thing, expecting a different result. So
now back to 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to 95.7 Saturdays. I'm Jason Dumas. We got Evan Giddings doing double duty. He is hosting. He's in the booth producing. That's a five-tool utility guy right there.
Appreciate you, Jason. We do what we can, man. And you're holding it down. Fantastic. Captain of the ship, driving us in the right direction. So
right. So, look, I got an interesting text on the text line. Actually, it wasn't on the text line. It was in my Twitter mentioned somebody who was listening. He said, a Twitter guy told me, I don't know where this Andrew Wiggins Warriors relationship is even at right now, given the whole debacle with the Olympics. And that's a good question. That's something we haven't even talked about. RJ Barrett, or Rowan Barrett, RJ's dad, mm-hmm. who is the director of Team Canada Basketball, he said, it was not a mutual decision that Andrew is not playing. He said, Andrew has been training with us and prepping for the Olympics for two years now. They have had dozens of conversations about their Olympic prep and excitement. So he has never gotten any inclination that Andrew Wiggins did not want to play in the Olympics. In fact, all he has gotten is enthusiasm. So, no, it is not a mutual decision. That's how they're trying to spin it, but that is not the reality. So, pretty strong words. Meanwhile, the Warriors didn't even come out and say it. I think Anthony Slater reported that it was a mutual decision. Where do you fall on that?
It is very interesting to me that not just RJ Barrett's father, but also members of the Toronto media have pretty much stated that it's not mutual, that right. Wiggins wants to play and that he's not allowed to.
Right.
The Warriors side of things are trying to position it as it is mutual. And I think it's because they're trying to trade him. Mm-hmm. I think that they do not want at all costs Andrew Wiggins to get hurt training, preparing, or perhaps playing in these Olympics, because that would essentially make it impossible to move him. I think they are, and I believe we've heard reports kind of leak out since the end of this season, whether it's from Logan Murdoch of The Ringer. I believe Zach Lowe also reported this from ESPN. Like, the Warriors are, quote, aggressively shopping Andrew Wiggins. I still think that's the case. And so the Warriors, and I didn't know you were allowed to do this, essentially prevent a player from competing in the Olympics. I'm not saying that's exactly what happened, but it kind of feels that way, Jason. Like, they're essentially saying, look, if you don't play, and it might be mutual from this standpoint, if you don't play, we can get you to a place that you want to go. And I think it would be, we talked about this a segment before, I think it would be mutually beneficial for Wiggins and the Warriors to divorce, to split. They've gotten as much as they can out of each other. We already went down the 2022 rabbit hole. So I think that right now they're trying to find a team to trade Andrew Wiggins to, and they do not want the Olympics to get in the way of that. I think that's why they're maybe not preventing him from playing, but that's why that he is no longer going to be active in these Olympics.
Yeah, they probably strongly discouraged.
Yeah.
I have a hard time seeing Steve Kerr, who is coaching in the damn Olympics, I have a hard time seeing Steve Kerr and Joe Lacob, although Mike Dunleavy probably has a say. And like we said, Mike Dunleavy's cold-hearted. He's bred for this. So I actually could see Mike Dunleavy being like, nope, don't care, not playing. But in terms of Steve Kerr and Joe Lacob, I have a hard time seeing them being like, absolutely not. Do not step on that court. We do not give you the nod. It was probably, like you said, you should really just chill out for the summer. We don't know how our lineup is going to look, and we need you healthy, which is all in all saying we might trade you.
Well, and there were also the reports that the Warriors weren't necessarily enthused with the shape that Andrew Wiggins came into camp. I think it was last year.
Oh, it's been 2 years.
Last 2 years. Yeah. So
he had an excuse because remember, so 2 years ago, the year where he
signed the contract.
Yeah. After the Lakers series.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, because remember, he had that rib, and essentially when you have a rib injury to that magnitude, you can't work out at all until it's healthy. So that was the excuse coming into last season, was he had the rib and this. Now, who knows, man? Like I said, if you look at his numbers, they have been trending down for a while now. I can say it till I'm blue in the face. 2022 was an anomaly. Just look at the totality of it all. It's just one of those things, like, Dub Nation is passionate and they have high standards. You kind of need passionate players to play well to this fan base. And Wiggs is just the opposite of that. Opposite of passionate. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's just like, he had a good Warriors tenure, but the longer he stays, you might start remembering the low points as they come.
Yeah, I mean, I also think that I think that Wiggins hasn't caught as much hell as other players on the team. Number one, he didn't punch anybody. number two, he's not that expressive. So there's not really anything to pinpoint and say.
Super unassuming, introverted, quiet.
And I think a lot of people identify with that. Like, I would consider myself more of an introvert than extrovert. So I feel that. But at the same time, you know, it's not just not having an expressive player, an emotional player or motive. Like, he just hasn't been a good player. I mean, at the end of the day, I could care less if you talk to the media or if you don't, if you're reserved, if you're private, all of that is totally your prerogative. And I have no reason to question that, whether I'm a fan or a media member. But if you're not playing well, you started off the show, Jason, I thought with an astute point of like, once you're a pro, I get to judge you. Like, once you're a pro and you're making money and this is your job, well, then as media members, it's our job to be critical of you. And I've been critical of Andrew Wiggins the last 2 years, not because I don't think he's a good person, not because I don't appreciate the fact that, you know, he's valued his privacy, but because he just hasn't played well when he's been on the floor. And that's the biggest issue right now. That's why the Warriors are trying to trade him. It's not because they don't believe that he's a good guy, but this is business. And we just saw them move off of a player that had been emotionally tied to this area for 13 years. It's not because they don't love Klay Thompson or dislike Klay Thompson. It's because of basketball. And right now, Andrew Wiggins has hurt the Warriors over the last two seasons more than he's helped them as a basketball player. And so that's why I think we've come to the point now this offseason where they're doing everything they can to detach themselves from him. And the Olympics just happens to be the center point of it, because it might be an obstacle to getting off of him if he hurts himself. And I just don't think they want to take that chance.
I couldn't have said it any better myself. He just, it's simply put, he has hurt the team more than helped the team over the last 2 years. And it's just not a good look. At the end of the day, you need guys out there who will help you. His contract, he is of the ilk that he should be way more productive than he has been. My question for you now is, and this is a hard one, who could use Andrew Wiggins? Like what team could use his services? We were hearing Dallas for a while, but now that Dallas got Klay Thompson, it's like there's no space for Andrew Wiggins. What type of team could use a player like Andrew Wiggins? In my opinion, it's a team that's close to winning a championship, and Andrew can come in and like play a role. He doesn't have to be too huge of a role, because the way he's playing right now, he can't have a huge role on a championship team. But it probably has to be a team that's close, like to add him as a role player. Like maybe like you go to the Eastern Conference, maybe a team like the Indiana Pacers that's kind of close to contending in the East. They just need a little more. Could be a team like the Indiana Pacers. Could be a team like the Philadelphia 76ers as like a like sixth, seventh man. Andrew Wiggins on the Sixers sounds great, honestly. I mean, you got Paul George, you got Maxey, you got Embiid. Those are the three guys who are going to get you there. Andrew Wiggins goes and plays a role. Now, they did just sign Caleb Williams, the Sixers, so maybe that's the spot Andrew Wiggins would have been in. But it would be a team like that that's close. They don't need him in New York. Shoot, he could go home, play in Toronto. What do you think?
I could see a team like Cleveland.
Yeah. The team that drafted him.
Yeah, exactly. It all comes full circle. But I think that if it depends, like it depends on where you're right, where the organization is, where the franchise is at. I don't necessarily think it has to be a contender, but I think it has to be a team that is looking to sort of morph or shift the way that they operate. You know, maybe if Cleveland decides that they're too big system, right? You know, Evan Mobley and Jared Allen can't really coexist, that they'd rather value extra wings than another big. That might be a team that's willing to take him. But again, they got to pay Garland big money. You know, Donovan Mitchell just signed a full extension max. They paid Max Strus last offseason. They're going to have to pay Mobley probably this offseason. And based on who's gotten a rookie max so far, I think Evan Mobley is probably going to get near the max. So they might not think about the money as being a big asset. That's why I almost think it's going to have to be a team that isn't a contender. It might have to be, I don't know, like a Charlotte or maybe a San Antonio if they can't get a trade done.
Pop would loathe Andrew Wiggins.
Yes, he would. Yes, he would. I mean, a team like that, a team that isn't necessarily ready to contend but could use some wing help. I mean, honestly, whoever takes Andrew Wiggins is going to view him as a sunk cost. Like, I think whoever takes Wiggins is because the Warriors would attach a pick to, and they would like that pick. Because I don't think any team that gets Wiggins is going to like the idea of having Andrew Wiggins on their books for three more years.
Right. And like I said, it would have to be a team that feels like, oh, on the Comcast Xfinity text line, I actually like that too. How about the Milwaukee Bucks? I could see that would be a good fit too. Like, I think it's a team that actually wouldn't view it as a sunken cost for the fact that they would think he could contribute and help them win, but not at a level to where he needs to win. Like in Golden State, they need him to be like the second best player.
Yeah.
He needs to go to a team where it's like, bro, you're like the fourth or fifth best player. Yeah, your price tab pays you a little more than that. But look, we're close. We need 13 to 14 and five rebounds from you off the bench.
Yeah.
No pressure. Milwaukee could do that. He could back up Chris Middleton and Giannis and them. That's what I mean by like he needs to go to a team, because if he goes to a team just for a sunken cost like Charlotte, oh man, like can you imagine him in Charlotte where you don't even really like, you don't have to bring it in Charlotte. You guys are never going to win. You're irrelevant. He is just going to go down there and just coast.
What about Washington?
Forgotten. Oh, man. Very, very close with Jordan Poole.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I think that something like that would be a way to kind of extract it out of Wiggins. But I do think you're exactly right about like the mentality. I think one of the reasons why he was able to be so good a couple of years ago is because there wasn't the expectation that he had to be the second best player. He could be the second best player, but no one expected him during that postseason to emerge the way that he did. I mean, it was Curry, Draymond, even Clay,
and
Jordan Poole. And so it was almost like whatever Wiggins gave you was gravy, but he was so good and so locked in that he could elevate you to a championship status. So I mean, I think that that kind of situation is exactly where Wiggins needs to be, is in a spot that he does not have the expectation of being a number one or number two. I think that was also the issue in Minnesota, is the expectations were just too high for him. And unfortunately, as a number one overall pick and a former All-American and a guy that was expected to be, you know, the next big thing, he hasn't lived up to expectations wherever he's been. And the one time that he rose to the occasion, he capitalized on it by getting a new contract.
Right. And role is so important in the NBA. And I'll give you two examples. Guys who are lauded right now in their current professional cities. One is retired now. They both started in Philly. Those are why those two examples just stick out to me. Andre Iguodala. He was drafted, I forget where. He was a pretty good player, especially, I mean, he's always been a good player, obviously. But when he went to the Sixers, beginning of his career, he's like, not backing up, but Iverson is still playing at a really high level.
Yeah.
Iverson's probably playing, when Andre Iguodala got drafted, Iverson was probably playing at the level that Steph Curry is playing right now, like third team All-NBA-ish, like probably in the, hard pressed to be top five, maybe top five in the right situation if he had a little more help. But like Iverson didn't have much help either.
On the back end.
Back end. He was, you could still ride with Iverson, but he wasn't like vintage Iverson, like top three in NBA. And then Iverson retired, and Andre Iguodala was like the best player on the team. And for like 3-4 years of that span, the Sixers were just like 7 seed, 8 seed, and everybody in Philly was just sick of him. Like this dude, like he's just not good enough. And it's because he was looked at as their number one player. He goes to Denver and then Golden State in much better roles. Now he's looked at as one of the best six men in NBA history, a guy who might get into the Hall of Fame, just way more revered. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Same thing with Drew Holiday. He was on some of those Iguodala teams. Oh, man, we need Drew to take us to the next level, blah, blah, blah. That is not him. It is not him. Now look at his career as a six, as not a six man, but as like a third best player on the team.
He also might be a borderline Hall of Famer when it's
another,
all said and done.
Another borderline. And so it's just like your role means everything. If he stayed in Philly his whole career as that type of player, he would actually probably be looked at as a bust.
Yeah.
So role means everything. And that's why, look, everybody says Drew's a Hall of Famer. Sure. If you want to put him in the Hall of Fame, great. I wouldn't. I think Hall of Fame is reserved for those 1A dogs, maybe a 1B. Drew was the third best player on his championship team, most likely. Chris Middleton, especially at that year. Yeah, I would say Chris Middleton was better than him. Drew is a great, great role player. He's also the third best. Like, he just won another championship. Forgot all about that. Third best.
Yeah.
Third or fourth best player on the Celtics. Really? Like, I mean, Tatum and Jaylen Brown, 1-2, whatever order, by far. Whoever's third, it's a little bit of a gap. And you could go anywhere between Drew, Chris Tapps, and Derek White. They all played really well. I guess Chris Tapps was hurt. But Derek White played really well, too. My point is this. I think if you're at a Hall of Famer, you need to be that guy. And that's not saying Drew Holiday isn't a great player. He is a great player, but there should be a bar in the Hall of Fame. That's just my opinion. Most people who I've told that to have disagreed with me. No, Drew is a for sure Hall of Famer. I disagree. I think the bar should be a little higher. If you're any lower than the second best player on your team, on your championship team, probably shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
No, I think, and unfortunately, the NBA Hall of Fame is also, well, it's not
the Naismith.
And Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. So it also factors college into it as well. But
college, international play.
It's the easiest one to get into.
Yeah, 100%.
I think Major League Baseball is the most difficult, and that's why it's also the most difficult for a lot of people to get on board with.
Right.
The NFL, to me, is the perfect amount of difficulty but impactful. Like, they do it the best. I think the NFL Hall of Fame is very accurate. You don't get a bunch of first ballot guys. NBA, it's like everybody gets in. I mean, God love them. You know, I personally don't think someone like Ben Wallace is a Hall of Famer. I know he's got a lot of accolades, but he was probably the second or third best player on a championship team. And I don't want to get into it. But
I know what you mean.
Like, my point is that I'm with you. Like,
it's a fair point.
It should be for alphas. It should be for the ones. And I'm glad you brought up Drew Holiday, not in the Hall of Fame conversation, but he's a player that is the third best player on the Celtics. But in the finals, he might have been the best player in game two. You know, right. he had a game or two in which he was the best player. Porzingis in game one led them in the first half. Like, those are players that are not Hall of Fame caliber players in my eyes, but that doesn't mean that they're not damn good and they can take over portions or individual games. That's what separates Hall of Famers from the Hall of Very Good, is that those Hall of Fame players can take over series. Like, Jaylen Brown took over the series. He was the best player in the series. I think Tatum has that capability, though he didn't do it. And so in regards to Wiggins, yeah, like, he's not that guy, pal. Like, he's just not that guy.
Not that guy, pal.
But he can take over games. He can take over stretches. He can take over stretches. And that's why I do think you're right, that a change of scenery will be good for him to move into a new role. Because I don't think that right now the Warriors have a ton of defined roles. And that's also where he struggles, when he doesn't know what is expected of him, because the expectations are naturally too high because of the bar that he set. And the bar right now to me is just unfair, because he wasn't that player before. He hasn't been that player after. And the Warriors, I think, are also in kind of a recalibration type of stage, where they got to figure out, outside of Steph, who is in those particular spots. Draymond has his role. Steph has his role. What are the rest of the roles going to be? And I think we would be able to more clearly define those roles if Wiggins was absent.
Right, 100%. And roles are everything in the NBA. It dictates how you're perceived. It dictates your paycheck. It dictates what you're able to do on the floor. Like I said, people in Philadelphia look at Andre Iguodala in a total different light than people in Golden State. And I actually think Andre has a little bit of spite for Philadelphia.
He does. If you've read his memoir, he did not speak about Philadelphia very fondly.
Yeah, I mean he wasn't built for Philly.
No.
He was the best player on the team. That's why the team wasn't very good. That is just the fact of the matter. Now, I know people listening are probably like, not Andre, but yes, Andre. He's not that guy, pal. Yes, he won a Finals MVP, and he was great for the Golden State Warriors. But in Philadelphia, he was the team's best player, and that's why the team wasn't good.
Yeah,
point blank, period. So it's all about your role. It's all about your role. And I would say the feeling in Philly is mutual. So no love lost between either one. Philly probably has a right to not really care much for Andre Iguodala, because he was the best player on a bad team for a bunch of years. Same thing. Golden State has the right to absolutely love the guy, because he was probably either him or Draymond. I was going to say probably the most versatile player on these championship teams. Andre could do a bit of everything. And then also, he's like high IQ, a coach on the team. Everybody looked up to him, like a big brother to people. So, you know, as that conversation pertains to current day, is Andrew Wiggins. Right now, for the Warriors to be good, a good team, they need Wiggins to step up, be that second player to Steph Curry. And he's just not that. And that's the role he is in. That's the role he was paid for. He was that bridge with Jordan Poole, like we said. And now he's just like, man, you're taking up a spot. We need to be better. We need you to be better. So it's kind of souring on the fan base. And it's just like, the Warriors need Mike Dunleavy to find that guy. Easier said than done. But hopefully that guy is out there. Maybe he's sitting in Houston. He didn't get that rookie extension in Sengun. Whoever it is, maybe Steph's listening to me and he's starting to recruit Devin Booker. Yeah. Whatever the case might be.
I want to see that IG video today.
Yeah, seriously. They need a second best player. That's it.
Who is it right now?
Who is their second best player right now? Draymond Green. If cumulatively, obviously, yeah, it's not going to happen on offense for Draymond. Like, he's not offensively, but just overall impact to winning, Draymond Green is the second best player, and that's an issue.
Yeah, it is, and that's why I think...
That's why they didn't make the playoffs.
Well, and you said, you know, if Wiggins could be that guy, but he hasn't been, and I think that's why they're going big fish hunting. If Andrew Wiggins could be that player, I don't think we would hear them talk about trying to get this guy and that guy and adding another piece because he would already have it. I think they're in a way because of his productive or his production, they're almost forced into trying to swing big. And that's not necessarily something I want to see them do. But I also, it's going to be hard to sell the franchise, aka Steph Curry, on the direction of this team right now, because he's eligible to sign a contract extension. I think he's got one more year on his deal after this. And if you are selling him on a vision, I'm curious what that vision would be. And maybe we can get into that on the other side.
Yeah, 100%. You need some sort of vision. We know, Ev, what the Warriors have right now is not going to get the job done. And this fan base has extremely high standards based on the last decade of play. And we'll get into all of that on the other end. That's Evan Giddies. I'm Jason Dumas. We'll be right back. 95 game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.